So good to be here. I've been here several years ago. I just came by when I was helping Brother Tom a little bit on his house. Enjoyed that trip, but I've never had the opportunity to be able to worship with you, and I've looked forward to this for a while. It's always a privilege that we can gather and worship our great God. Amen. And just adore Him and worship Him and exalt His name. Tonight I want us to be looking in probably a familiar text, Romans chapter 11. Be looking at verses 11 and 12. I'll be looking at other verses, but this will be where we'll start this evening. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore, because of this, cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light, knowing the time. You know, our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came to this world, He came on time. And everything that He did from the time He was born till He died happened exactly on time. It said, when the fullness of time was come, the fullness of time. You think about this, for thousands of years, God had determined when the Lord Jesus Christ would be born, and it happened that exact time. Our God's a God of order, not a God of confusion and disorder. Order. Everything happens on time. He was sent forth when God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Then in His life, we read when He was 12 years old. Remember, He was in the temple and Mary went back to look for Him. And when she found Him, He said, do you not know I need to be about my Father's business? This is why I came for. And many times, if man had done what they had wanted to do, they would have came and taken Him. You remember when He went to Nazareth, they wanted to take Him on the brow of the city and throw Him off headlong. And they couldn't. Why? They could not kill Him till His time was come. His time wasn't come. I want you to turn over just, I want to show you this in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Look in verse 1. It said, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for He walked not in jewelry, because the Jews sought to kill Him. Now the Jews' feast of Passover was at hand, and His brethren therefore said unto Him, depart from this place, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou hast done. You know what they're saying? You're wasting your time here. You need to go down to Jerusalem. You need to let all them people see the works that you're doing. Why would you want to do it in a little place like this? They said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, but himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither, and why did they say this? For neither did His brethren believe in Him. But Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready, always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Go you up to the feast. I go not up yet to the feast. Why? For my time is not yet come. But when His time was come, He rode that donkey into Jerusalem. And this very bunch that would have killed Him on the spot starts throwing down these palm trees, saying, Hosanna, blessed to the Son of God. He controls all things. If I can get one thing across to all of us this evening to be reminded of this, I don't have anything new to say, is our God is in control of all things. The times are in His hands. In John 17, Our Lord prayed. These words spake Jesus, verse 1, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. When his hour was come, he set his face like a flint. He delivered himself over to their will because the hour was come. He died at the exact time at when the Passover lamb, because he's the Passover, he died. God's appointed lamb, the one that God provided before time ever began. This is him. On time. On time. Romans 5:6, for when you were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When he came, it was the time of his humiliation. But when he comes again, it will be the time of his exaltation. And every eye shall see him. They'll see the one that they've pierced, and he'll come back as, he won't come as the lamb slain. He'll come back as the lion of the tribe of Judah the next time. The next time. He controls all things. This is God's day. This is God's time. And Spurgeon said, God's time must be our time. We see the times have changed. I'm only 50-some years old, and times have changed a lot just since I was a young boy. But let me tell you this. This is God's time. God's time. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal. And that's how God always works. He kills, and then he makes alive. God may leave a person alone for a long time, but then God says, this is it. Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but when the law came, sin revived, and I died. God killed his pride. God killed his self-righteousness, and he said, he kills. But thank goodness he makes alive. A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence. Boy, I wish I could learn that one. And then know when it was time to speak. A time of love, a time of hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Our times are in God's hands. Here's what David said in Psalms 31, verse 13. He said, I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. You can apply this to David, but you can also apply this to the son of David. The next verse, but I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. David knew that God was his God and God controlled his life. He knew it. When everything around him seemed to be coming in on every hand, they said, we're going to get you, David. We've been going through David in our Bible class. And King Saul, everywhere David went, Saul hounded him. And David even one day said, one day I'm going to perish at the hands of Saul, and runs down to the Philistines. But you know what? David's times was in God's hands. Saul couldn't kill him. Because David's got to sit on the throne. They couldn't kill our Lord. You know why? He's got to fulfill all the law, all the demands of God, and he sits upon the throne. God raised him from the dead and set him there. All this is fixed by him. Job said, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? We have a time. There was a time when we were born. And there's a time when we're going to die. And it's fixed. And you won't die 1 minute earlier. And you won't die 1 minute later. It's fixed. And as I thought about this, you know, they were a lot of great men. Top Lady, David Brainerd, and others, very young men. Brainerd died in his 20s. Died. Spurgeon in his 50s. 58. That's a young man. But their times, and they served their time. Their time. Psalms 89:47. Remember how short my time is. You know what Job said? Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He didn't say he's a few months. He didn't say he's a few years. He said he's a few days. Man, it's born of woman. It's few days, and full of trouble. You notice when I read there in Ecclesiastes 3, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die, but it doesn't even mention there's a time to live. Because from the time we're born, we start dying. Dying. Our life is even a vapor. It's here for a little time, and it just vanishes away. I watched my two granddaughters back in the summer. My daughter had a bubble machine. This thing was creating all these little bubbles. They were just amazed at these. You know, they were chasing them, but they just was there for just a few seconds, and then they were gone. That's our life. That's our life. Our times, our lives are determined when and even where we will leave. I've told this I don't know how many times, and I'm going to keep telling it. I'm from North Carolina, and you can probably tell. Some people say I have an accent. I don't know. Lived there 50-something, my whole life. And if you'd have told me I would have been anywhere in the world, I'd have been anywhere in the world but West Virginia. But God put me there at a specific time. That's amazing. Just like he said 30 years ago, at that time, he went to the same place. And that's amazing. That encourages my heart. God controls all things. All things. He hath made of one blood all nation of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Why were you born in America? Or maybe you wasn't born here, born somewhere else. You didn't have a choice in it. Where you would be born and when you would be born and who you'd be born to. I was born to Nell and Bill Walker October the 30th, 1959 at 10:45 at night. That's when I was born, the first time. Why wasn't I born somewhere else? I know why. My times were appointed and the bounds of my habitation were set. That's it. You know, when our Lord told Simeon going into the temple, and our Lord had told him, said, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was a just and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's what? He's waiting and he's looking. He's looking for the Christ. That's the consolation of Israel. He's looking. He's anticipating. And the holy, the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. You know what he said? We don't know how old he was, and I don't know how long he had been looking. But God had told him. And how he told him, I don't know, but he told him. He revealed it to him. Said, Simeon, you cannot die. You cannot die till you see the Lord's Christ. And one day, I picture him going in just like he had a lot of other times. And he goes in there, but this is a different time. This is a different day. And Mary and Joseph just happened to be bringing our Lord in because he's 8 days old to the temple. And Simeon sees him. What a time. He said, now I can die. What is that saying? If you're one of God's elect, you cannot die and you will not die till you see the Lord's Christ. You cannot. Putting it plain, when I think of the hell that I caused my parents, the life that I lived, but all that time, God partook me, cared for me, carried me. I looked that Sunday, were you talking about God being our refuge? Deuteronomy 33, he's not only my refuge, but his mighty, his everlasting arms are under me. The world carries their God. Our God carries us. And there's never been but one set of footprints in the sand either. That's right. He carries you. Because you know, times change. I couldn't help but think about Tom and the things y'all went through here as a church, all the water and all those. And those were when that was going on, that was a troublesome time. But it's a different time now. And you look back and you maybe couldn't see it at the time, but you see and understand that God was in control of all things and it happened on time. He will save his people. It says in Ezekiel 16 verse 8, and when I pass by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, the time was the time of love. He passed by you. It was a different time. He said, it's a time of love. And he put his skirt over me, spread my skirt over me, and covered my nakedness. And I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saying, the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Let me tell you this, our lives are not left to blind fate. Mm-mm. If you're here, and I pray everybody here is a believer, I pray everybody here that God has made himself known to you, but if you're not, I pray that tonight is that time of love, and he passes by. God speaks at an appointed time. And when God speaks, I pray that we're wise enough to listen. He said in Hebrews 4:7, again he limiteth or fixed a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And in 2 Corinthians 6:2, listen to this verse. For he saith, and he said this in Isaiah 49:8, I have heard thee. Now this is talking about, he's talking about hearing Christ. He said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 4? This is the acceptable year of the Lord. You know what that year was? That was the year of Jubilee. You remember the year of Jubilee? It only happened every 50 years. I heard Fortner say one time, he said, If you live the average lifespan, you maybe only have lived to see one jubilee year every 50 years. But I can, and when it that year of jubilee, which was the acceptable year of the Lord, all debts were paid. If you had sold your property, it went back to the original owner. And there was a trumpet that sounded, a distinct trumpet. It was the jubilee trumpet. You may have only heard that trumpet one time in your life, but if you ever heard it, you'd know what it meant. If you've ever heard, if God ever gives you ears to hear the gospel, it has a distinct sound. And that's what he's saying. Behold, 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 now is the accepted time. What is this? What is this time? We live in the day of salvation accomplished. I don't have to wait 50 years for the Jubilee. This is the Jubilee. That's good news. Now is the accepted time. What's this? Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. Today. It's done. There's nothing left to do. It's done. It's finished. Sometimes God speaks more than once. You remember Samuel in the temple as a young boy? God called and said, Samuel. Samuel gets up. He thinks it's Eli. And he runs to Eli and said, Eli, did you call me? He said, go lay back down. He said, maybe it's the Lord speaking. That's pretty good advice. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times and said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered and said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You remember Jonah? Remember what God told Jonah to do? He said, Jonah, go to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm not going to Nineveh. Then he goes down to the port or wherever that he could get a ship. He goes down there. Well, just as fate would have it, he finds a ship. He says, well, the fare is this much. Well, he pays the fare. He gets on the ship and he says, boy, I got out of that real easy, didn't I? But then God sent the storm. And Jonah knew why God sent the storm. And God prepared a fish and swallowed Jonah. And what did Jonah learn in the fish? That salvation is of the Lord. And God's not done. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh. He didn't change. He didn't change. But who he did change was Jonah. He's ready to go now. You know what's amazing when I read that story? That fish spewed him out right on the shore of Nineveh. But God speaks. And he speaks. You remember Joseph? Joseph is in Egypt. His father doesn't know he's alive, and his brothers don't know he's alive. And there's a famine, and Joseph is in Egypt, and he has all these storehouses full of corn. And Jacob has to send the brothers, the same brothers that tried to kill Joseph, to Egypt. And when they go to Egypt, they don't recognize Joseph. And Joseph treats them a little harshly. And I think he keeps Simeon and sends him back, sends the rest of them back, and said, you go get Benjamin. Bring him. And Jacob will not, says, I ain't going to let Benjamin go. And eventually he does. And here these same boys have to go face this man, and they have no idea who he is. It's like God bringing you under conviction. He knows exactly who you are, but you have no idea who he is. And in Acts 7, it says that the second time, Joseph was made known unto his brethren. The second. You remember the story, it blesses my heart. They went down there and Joseph said, I'm Joseph. The second time. God don't have to speak. He's not obligated to speak any. there will be some people that live upon this earth that will never hear the gospel. Isn't that right? And for God to let you hear one time. And then one day, He says, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes Himself known. And when He does that, that's the day of salvation. That's the time of His love. We need to take it serious when God speaks. God help us not to be like Felix. In Acts 24:25, as Paul preached to this man, and can you imagine everything that God allowed to transpire for this preacher to stand before this man? And he reasoned of righteousness, of temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled, and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. In essence, Felix said, I know I need to repent. Just not now. It's getting colder, and soon it will be cold probably all the time. And you know what happens in winter days? The ground will freeze, the ice will freeze, and if the sun comes out during the day, it might thaw just a little bit. But you know what's going to happen when the sun goes down? It will refreeze. This man's conscience began to thaw just a little bit. He said, at a more convenient season. I don't ever read he had another convenient season. And it's not at your convenience. But God brought this man, his preacher, in front of this man and preached the gospel to him. And this man said, not at this time. Give me another one. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet. And not a single one of them lepers in Israel, he didn't send him to none of them. Many of them. Why did God send his son to you? Why is Pikeville, Kentucky, Cottageville, West Virginia, Kingsport? Why? It was... When our Lord, He told those people, He preached, He said, there was many of them. There was many widows in the time of Elijah, and He didn't save any of them but that old Gentile widow. In the time when they lived. My advice to us, back to our text, it says, knowing the time. It is high time to awake out of sleep. You know what it says in Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 2? She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. That old man, he grows drowsy, doesn't he? I'm just going to be honest. It's the only way I know to be. I couldn't wait to get up here. I thought I was going to go to sleep before I got up here. Supper was so good, and we sat down, and I got... And I know you've never experienced that. But you know what it is when you just... It's like you can't hardly hold your head open or hold your head up. It can become that way spiritually. I sleep. But let me tell you something. There's a new man in there who never sleeps. He never slumbers nor sleeps. But there's both. I sleep, but my heart waketh. You mean when our Lord asked the disciples? Now you imagine this. Peter, James, and John go with Him into the garden. And He goes just a stone's throw from them. And He falls on His face. And He's praying in such agony that His sweat becomes as great drops of blood. He comes back and finds them asleep. You know the first thing He asked them? Why sleep ye? Why sleep ye? He goes, prays, comes back, and sleep again. Then when He come back the last time, you know what He said? Sleep on now. And take your rest. I believe it was Gill or Spurgeon I read behind one time. He said that, I know those men were tired. But he said, I think that there was something supernatural about that. And I believe that sometimes the enemy... I've come to church before and it's all you could do to focus. Right? And you know, I don't want to miss anything. If God speaks, I want to hear Him speak. And the enemy just lulls us to sleep. Lulls us, don't he? The wise and the foolish virgins both slumbered and slept. Our Lord told the people in His day, He said, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you did not discern this time? Anybody that has any spiritual discernment, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, can see that there's something going on in this world. This is a different time, isn't it? I think it is. We're living in perilous times. We're living in times of judgment. God is a holy God. God is a just God. And I know sometimes people, when I was in religion, they used to talk about your days of grace and them away and all this. I don't know about all that. I know if you're His, He's going to bring you. But I do know this. God said, I've stretched out my hand all the day long and you refused it. He said, one day you're going to cry and I won't hear you. He said, I'll laugh when your fear comes. You know what He said about Esau? There was a time when Esau sold his birthright. And then there was a time he sought repentance carefully with tears. And he was rejected because God left him alone. I do know God's that way. And I can see the hand of God's judgment on this nation. I can see it. And it seemed like if things are happening awful fast, but let me tell you something again. God is in control of all things. Do you know when the children of Israel were there in Jerusalem and they were preaching the gospel and thousands of people were being saved? He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what they wanted to do? Stay right in Jerusalem. You know what God caused? He allowed persecution. He allowed Stephen to be stoned. He allowed James to be killed. You know why? It drove them out. God knows exactly what He's doing. He says, listen now, the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know what that means when their conscience seared with a hot iron? Has no feeling. Totally dead. Reprobates. This know also that in the last days, and we've been in the last days from the time of Christ, perilous times shall come. And here's how he describes them. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And who are these people? Having a form of godliness. These are religious people. Denying the power thereof. I've never seen so many religious people than till this day right here. Everybody's religious. It's the popular thing to do now. It's the end thing. God will send them strong delusions and they will believe a lie. But you know what it says in Revelation where it says the serpent spewed out the water out of his mouth to try to destroy the woman. You know what it said about the earth? It said the earth helped the woman. What does that mean? It just swallows it up. Swallows it up. When David's getting ready to come to the throne, all the nations, all the tribes of Israel were gathered together to make him king. And as 1 Chronicles 12:32 said about this little tribe of Issachar. You know what it said about Issachar? Which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What are we supposed to do? We're going to make David king. That's what we're going to do. That old Benjamite Saul, he's been on the throne too long. David's king. This is what we're going to do. I tried to find this quote. I'd heard Henry quote it years ago, and I can't get it exactly. But Martin Luther made this statement. It's similar to this. He said, "Wherever the honor of our Lord is being attacked in our day, that is where the true soldier of Christ will rage his battle." And that's it. Where it's being raged in our day, that's where we rage battle. Remember Haggai, that little book. Haggai comes in. The children of Israel, some had come back from Babylon, been there for 70 years, and they came back and started building the temple. You know, they know what they did? They just quit. They just said quit. And God sent Haggai to stir these people up, and here's what he said. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts," saying, this is what God said. "This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came to the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet," saying, they're saying, well, the time's not right for us to build God's house. God says, "Is it time for you, oh, you to dwell in your sealed house, and this house lay waste?" He said, "You're saying it's time for you to build your house, but not time for you to build God's house. Oh, ye to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lay waste. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." God help every one of us to consider our ways. There's so many illustrations of this in Scripture. In the little book of Esther. Remember the book of Esther. Esther becomes queen. And she's a Jew. And they keep it hid. Her and her uncle Mordecai keep it hid. And there's a wicked man named Haman who hates the Jews. And he's plotting to kill every single Jew. And he don't know that Esther's a Jew. And he's trying to get the king to make the decree that they're all going to die. And Mordecai, you just imagine this. You don't know if this is the last night you're going to live. If the king makes the decree, you're a dead man. So what does Mordecai do? He goes to Esther. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Because Esther said, "I can't go to the king just any time. The only time you can go into the king's presence is when he reaches out his golden scepter." And she said, "I've not been able to go in." Do you not see that picture? How can we come to Christ? Because he reaches out the golden scepter. But then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. He said, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house." He said, "Don't you think just because you're in the king's house that he won't kill you more than all the Jews? For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time," he said, "if you won't speak up for these Jews at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." He said, if you won't do it, God will take care of his people. God's going to save his elect people. He's going to save his chosen people. But watch this. "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." But here it is. But he said, "But who knowest, Esther, that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" You know what he's saying? He said, "Just maybe, Esther, God has allowed you to be queen for such a time as this." And you think about this. God has allowed us to live. God has put you here in this place for such a time as this. God raises up a church like in Kingsport for such a time as this. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Let me give you one more. You remember the woman with the very precious ointment that comes and anoints our Lord. Listen, in Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Said, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he set at meat, our Lord set at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? It might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble you her? Now watch this. She hath wrought a good work on me. He called what she did, and I never read anywhere else he ever called anything else a good work. He said, she hath wrought a good work on me. You have the poor with you always, and whenever you will, you may do them good. He said, anytime you want to, you can help the poor. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. What I believe this is saying, I believe she knows in her heart, she's been saving up this ointment for a long time. A long time. And she knows that if she don't do it now, she won't get the opportunity. Because when he's hanging on the cross, she won't get to anoint his body. But somebody said, do you know when she anointed his body? When he dies, he still has this fragrance on him. She anointed his body. She had done what she could. I can't do what somebody else can do. You can't do what somebody else can do. But he said she's done what she could. She's come to anoint my body for the burial. God help me and God help us to do what we can while we can. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken for a memorial unto her. She's done what she could. Knowing the time, it is high time that we awake out of sleep. Amen.